Welcome to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast, the audio version of the Josh Meister's Lost blog, which you can find at thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Hey everybody, this is the Josh Meister, and welcome back to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast. We just got finished watching Season 6, Episode 6, Sundown, and there was no official Lost podcast this week, and not really anything else to follow up with on previous episodes, so let's dive right into Sundown. So we start out the episode... Oh, by the way, I should mention that we have two wonderful people called in who you are probably familiar with if you've ever listened to this show before, but we've got Congested from the from Audibly Lost and also from this new podcast, Dark Ufology. How's it going, Alex, a.k.a. Congested?
It's going great.
Good. Can you tell us a little bit about your new show?
Oh, sure. Dark Ufology is a podcast that sort of derived from a miscommunication between Andy, a.k.a. Dark UFO, and I, where I was asking him if he was going to call in on any podcast this year, and he took it as if he was going to make his own podcast this year. And then, you know, I said, why don't we do one? And we just sort of did one, and now there's this podcast, and yeah, it exists now. There is a Dark Ufology podcast.
Cool. All right, and where can people find that? DarkUfology.com, is that right?
Yeah, it's DarkUfology.com, and, you know, I actually may not be around for the next few weeks for the podcast because I'm sort of taking on my own project that I'll be able to talk to you guys more about maybe in the next few weeks. But
cool.
Yeah, darkufology.com. Go check it out.
Cool. And also called in, we have Josh, who I call Spivvy just to avoid confusion with my own name, but Josh from Lost Flashbacks. How's it going, Josh?
Going good. It's 1:30 right here in the east.
Awesome. Yes. So many wonderful people stay up extra super duper late to call into this show, and I appreciate that. So I don't know if I've ever really given you a chance to plug your podcast before. So do you want to tell people where they can find out about the Lost Flashbacks and tell us what you do on your show?
Sure. The Lost Flashbacks, we do still exist. we started out doing a whole rewatch of the series after season 3 ended, so sometimes we'll get like emails saying, "Wow, you guys are still doing episodes," and we're like, "Yeah, definitely." But we do initial reaction shows now after each episode. Hopefully, that will continue if I keep getting ABC. You can find a lot more about us on our website. It's www.thelostflashbacks.blogspot.com.
And so it's The Lost Flashbacks, right? TheLostFlashbacks.blogspot.com?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All righty, so, and of course, lots of people in the chat, including some of our regulars, Bailey Bear, Diesel929, Ratface, and so on. So thanks for being here. All right, let's go ahead and get started now, officially. So we start the episode in 2004. Saeed is sitting in a taxi. It appears that he's going to see Nadia, and she answers the door. It turns out she's married, and we find out that Saeed apparently is some sort of a world traveler, a translator, and Nadia has kids. The kids already know him, and they call him Uncle Saeed. And so it wasn't clear, obviously, at this point in the episode whether that was just a nickname, but we actually do find out later that, indeed, Nadia is actually married to Saeed's brother, which is interesting. We go to 2007 on the island, and Saeed, who apparently is infected now, goes to Dogen, and he demands answers. You know, he's been tortured by Dogen. Dogen gave Jack this poison pill to go give to Saeed to kill him, and so Saeed just wants to know what the heck is going on. And he asks Dogen about the torture machine, and Dogen says, "For every man, there is a scale. On one side is good, the other side evil." And so they sort of have this little discussion, and they end up fighting, And I know Alex wasn't super happy about the end of that fight, but basically Dogen wins and kind of kicks Said out of the temple. The interesting thing is at the end of this fight, though, Dogen's baseball falls off of the table. We've seen him with this baseball before, and there wasn't really an explanation yet as to what the baseball is or kind of its purpose, if it has any or significance. Anyway, so as the baseball falls off the table as he's fighting Said, he lets Said go, and he says, "Go, leave this place, never come back." And he's all calm all of a sudden as he picks up this baseball off the ground.
Well, and we know, in Said's defense, he was dead a day earlier or so.
Yeah.
He didn't hold his own for someone that had been dead for 2 hours.
Yeah. The day before. Good point.
I mean, he put up a good fight, but, you know, these fights seem so sort of like down to every move, and I guess Dogen just got that last move in. And,
they usually don't go that deep into it and lost. Like, it'll be like a few
touches. This was by far the best sort of, as far as a fight sequence, the best Said fight sequence. Like, I was on the edge of my seat, like, yes, this is awesome. You know, this by far best fight sequence, you know, second to the Kimi Said fight sequence, which is why I was so disappointed. Because
you wanted to see him actually win this awesome
Said
fight.
He lost the fight with Kimi, and then he loses this fight, and I was like, oh, come on, the two best fights Said loses, and little did I know, as I was saying in the chat, that,
we do find out later in the episode that wasn't the end. he may have lost the battle, but he did not lose the war, so to speak. So,
yeah.
And we do find out the significance of that baseball, by the way, later in the episode. All right, so back to the 2004 Flash Sideways, or alternate timeline. Said was apparently, in this timeline, still an interrogator for the Republican Guard in the war. And Nadia's husband, Omer, says... He asks Said to do something about this apparently unfair creditor that he has. Omer says to Said, and by the way, you know, again, we do find out later in the episode, it's clarified that Omer is in fact Said's brother. So Said's brother asks him, you know, I know you have feelings for Nadia, and, you know, do this for us, for, you know, for her, for the kids, you know, for our family. You've got to do something to protect us from this creditor who, you know, he's demanding more money than I actually owe. He's like, I've already paid off the whole debt, and they're still demanding, you know, interest every month. And Said answers, "I'm sorry, I'm not that man anymore." And... we, of course, find out later that even in the alternate timeline, Said still is that man. He's just trying to hide from his past. But it never quite works out that way for him. 2007, Miles says to Said, "You were dead man for 2 hours, so whatever brought you back, it wasn't them." So I think this is the first time anyway that I noticed that they actually gave a time, an amount of time that Said had been dead. So he was not only just dead for a little while, like it kind of seemed like when we saw that episode, to me anyway, but he was apparently dead for a full 2 hours.
He was dead for two episodes.
So there you go. I don't know. Anyway, he was dead for 2 hours, and so Miles figured out that it wasn't actually the dunking him under the water and all that saved his life. There had to have been something else. And if anyone's going to kind of be an expert on whether somebody actually died and all that kind of stuff, it would be Miles, I guess. Although it's kind of funny. I don't know. He was asking interesting questions of Hurley in that episode as they're kind of sitting over Said's body and kind of contemplating it. Anyway, I don't know. But in any case, so Said was dead for 2 hours, as clarified by Miles. All right. So Claire wants Dogen to leave the temple. Claire just shows up kind of randomly, it seems, to the people in the temple, and she asks Dogen to leave the temple so that he can talk to the Man in Black. But Dogen, of course, refuses because he knows that the Man in Black would kill him if he left.
You know, I was a little, I don't know, these others are acting very strangely. I mean, the others that we knew would have shot Claire in the face the second she walked into the temple. And they know she's a threat, and they know Jacob is dead. But they're like, sure, come on in and go sit in a hole. I mean, I'm like, dudes, like, at least interrogate her or something. Like, what's the point of being in a guarded temple if you let anybody in that just walks up to the door?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I agree with you there. Yeah, well, it's, who was it? Somebody, though, there was saying, don't shoot her. Who was it who said that?
Leonard.
Was it Dogen? I don't know. I was taking
Lenin,
notes at the time.
Lenin, yeah.
Lenin said that? Lenin.
I'm glad he said
that. Yeah. Lenin, of course, being the unofficial name of... maybe it's official. I don't know. They've never said it on the show anyway, so I don't know if it's canon at least. But the name of the translator, of Dogen's translator, yeah, Jorge Garcia calls him Lenin on the what's it called? Geronimo Jackson podcast.
I think it's Lenin in the press release or something because it's an official name. So I'm guessing it's in the press release because Lostpedia has it up as Lenin.
Yeah, I saw it in the enhanced episode. So I mean, they never did say it on the show though, which is fine.
They also, it's the same thing with Man in Black too. I think didn't they use that term in a press release? I think that's where
I don't know
put it that. But yeah, and Man in Black has never been a name
like,
used on the show.
I know how long PD operates, and I know that like if it's in a press release from a whatever episode, they'll count it towards the character page. Yeah.
Right. All right. So, in any case, so Dogen refuses to leave the temple. He knows the Man in Black is going to kill him. And so Dogen says to Saeed, this is more or less an exact quote. I typed it out as fast as I could, but he said, this man, and of course, we still don't know the name of the Man in Black, which ticks me off because there's so many spots in this episode where Dogen calls him this man and Saeed says, I met a man. And it's like, oh, come on. Will somebody please just give me his name? He has to have a name. I mean, Jacob has a name. Why doesn't this guy have a name? He obviously does, and they won't give it to us for some reason. So frustrating.
I'm worried about that. I mean, there's no name that they could really give him that would make up for all this time of us wondering what it was, other than Jack Shepard. I mean,
do you think they're going to reveal his name at any point? Do you think it's going to be a big revelation, or is it just going to be... I mean, I can't... At this point, I'm thinking if they do reveal his name, it better be a big revelation. Otherwise, it's going to be really annoying, you know?
It's
like, what?
Like, if it's just, like, another random Bible reference, like, why not tell us?
Yeah.
Like, if it's Esau,
yeah. Yeah.
Or something, we're like, okay. Like, or even if it's, like, Phil. Like, it has to be something that they're hiding from us. So it's...
Yeah. I know, it's just so annoying they keep using all these stupid pronouns and nicknames, you know, to refer to him, and rather than, anyway, okay, I'm going to move on.
Maybe it's Jacob backwards, so that would be Jacob Bakaj. Bakaj.
There you go. There you go.
Bakaj. Sure.
All right. Theory of the week.
Okay. All right, moving on. So, Dogen says to Saeed, this man will not stop until he has destroyed every living thing on this island. Which is interesting because I think almost exactly the same thing was once said of Charles Widmore and like the people that he sent to the island. But
yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so he is evil incarnate. I want you to destroy him. He will come to you as someone, you know, someone who has died. Once you see him, plunge this into his chest. If you allow him to speak, it is too late. So that was the instruction that Dogen gives to Saeed. All right. 2004, alternate timeline. Omer is attacked, apparently, by his creditor, you know, we presume. And he has to go to the hospital. Nadia wants Saeed to protect the kids and not to retaliate. if I heard that right, heard this, the conversation correctly. And of course, Saeed had just told Omer earlier, you know, that he's not that man anymore. 2007, Kate comes back to the temple, and she hears from Miles that Claire came to the temple and was acting weird, is how he put it. And by the way, if since we're kind of already in a somewhat of a ranty mood, I don't want this to turn into Cranky Fanatic, because there's a whole podcast dedicated to ranting, but, you know, okay. So Miles calls, he doesn't refer to her as Claire at first when he's talking to Kate. He says that Australian chick or something like that. And I'm like, oh, come on. Miles knows who Claire is. Miles is like hitting on Claire and stuff back in the day, like right before Claire walked off with her dad in the jungle, you know? So Miles totally knew Claire's name and knew that Kate would know Claire's name. And why would he? Oh, gosh.
Well, anyway. This is the same thing that happened in season 5 when Miles comes to New Otherton and he's like, oh, was that your house? He's like, he knows that was Juliet's freaking house. You know, he was there, or it was something like that. Like, he's asking them questions which he knows the answer to, and it's, you know.
You know, he says, like, oh, that Australian chick. He knows that Kate would be like, I don't think he knew she would live out that much, but, you know, that she would be offended almost by the, you know, the nasty way he kind of said it, like, oh, she's hot. And Kate,
yeah,
would be like, oh.
No, he can say that she's hot without saying that, like, oh, this Australian. I'm kind of with Josh, other Josh, on this.
The Josh Meister.
Prime, since it's his podcast. But yeah, well, that was unnecessary. He knows her name is Claire. He heard Sawyer shouting Claire for like 20 minutes at the end of whatever episode that was last season. Like, he knows her name.
Well, I was just instant messaging with Big O last night. We were talking about how we absolutely hate it when they do that in shows where, you know, you totally, you know, the audience by now, okay, this is season 6 of Lost. The only people who are probably still watching this are diehard fans who are totally going to, you know, they're not going to need to be fed things like, Claire's the name of the Australian chick, right? I mean, if they're throwing things in like that just to, like, help people out who are kind of casual watchers of the show, I don't really think there are that many casual watchers of the show by this point, you know, in the series. But anyway, all right, I'm moving on. So, Saeed encounters the man in black in the guise of John Locke, and John says, you know, fake John, whatever. Man in black says, hello, Saeed. And then Saeed stabs him. The man in black calmly pulls out the knife and it has no blood on it. And he asks Saeed why he did that. So, my initial thought was Dogen wrong? Or did it not work because Saeed waited until after the man in black spoke before stabbing him? Because, you know, that was the specific instruction. If you allow him to speak, it is too late. So, you know, it seems like, you know, the man in black then has a conversation with Saeed and basically says, look, Dogen lied to you, man. He was trying to get you killed. And so Saeed kind of calls the man in black on this and says, look, okay, you could have killed me. Why haven't you? So obviously you need me for something. And so the man in black basically tells Saeed to deliver a message. And he tells Saeed, this is really interesting because this, I think, also seems like another, maybe possible biblical reference anyway, but certainly is reminiscent of something that happens in the Bible. But the man in black tells Saeed, that he can give him anything he wants. And you know, Saeed says, well, you know, the only thing I ever wanted died in my arms, referring to Nadia. And the man in black implies that he can get Nadia back somehow. And so I guess that does it for Saeed, and he gives in. But the interesting thing was the way that the man in black talked to Saeed. He says, anything in this world, you know. And I was thinking to myself, dude, this is totally like, you know, Satan approaching Jesus and saying, you know, I can give you anything you want in this world, you know, like I'm the master of this universe kind of thing. And it totally seemed like a reference to like a biblical reference, which, you know, may, you know, get into, there have been lots and lots of biblical references, like direct, like more, much more obvious biblical references on the show. So I don't know if this was intended to be, but in any case, it did seem like one in that case. And if that's the case, then the man in black here is being compared to Satan. So, you know, that would again imply that the man in black is a bad guy. Although something that comes up later in the episode might seem to hint that Jacob could also be a bad guy, and maybe we've got two bad guys that are kind of pitted against each other.
And Diesel in the chat, he was saying that he was thinking of the magic box when Locke/Smoke Monster was talking to Saeed. Like, sort of that same sort of thinking, like the magic box that Ben was talking to Locke about, you know, the whatever Ooh. You want or whatever you need, you know.
That's good. I must have missed that in the chat. I guess stupid talk shoe isn't working properly again. I'm going to try to reconnect so I can catch people's notes in the chat.
You know, you were talking about, you know, what Dogen said to him. I actually, in this case, believe the man in black more so, that he sent him out there only to get Saeed killed. You know, that he knows there's no way to kill this man in black guy. And he was like, all right, I'll send him out there. He'll stab him and then they'll kill him. And he was worried about him talking because he thought that, you know, before he could stab him and then be killed, that Locke would recruit him and turn him against them.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Well, you know, there was no, that even if he had just stabbed him without Locke saying, you know, hello, Saeed, he still would have done nothing. And Dogen clearly held it.
But the confusing thing about that, though.
Calls him on it later. I mean, I guess we'll get to that, but. You know, Saeed is even like, yeah, you know, you were trying to set me up. And, yeah. Okay.
Well, But what's up with that, though? Because, I mean, Dogen seemed to be lying. I mean, it seemed like Dogen knew that stabbing him wasn't really going to kill him. Because, I mean, let's say for the sake of argument that he did know that was not, you know, or let's say Dogen did not know. Okay, so maybe Dogen thought this actually could kill him for some reason. We know from previous episodes that even getting, you know, if the man in black gets shot in the form of John Locke, you know, it's not going to affect him at all. You know, it basically goes through him, or else when he turns into the smoke monster, the bullet, you know, just falls on the ground. That doesn't hurt him anyway. I don't know. So
Dogen originally, he wanted to send Jack and Kate out. So what's that about? Like, not Jack and Kate, Jack and Hurley. So, I mean, I guess he had a different plan if he had sent Jack and Hurley out or what?
I have no idea.
The first thing he says is where is Shepard and Reyes or whatever.
Interesting.
I don't know. So that's a good point. Although I wonder, that's a good point. He did ask for, I don't have that in my notes, but you're right. He asked for Shepard and Reyes to come see him privately. And when Lennon said that, he couldn't find them, then he asked Saeed to go talk to the man in black. So, but that doesn't necessarily mean, I didn't take that to mean that he was going to send Jack and Hurley out to talk to the man in black, but maybe he had some alternate plan that if they had been there, then he could have implemented some other plan, but this was kind of a different plan because they weren't there. Like, he's like, well, okay, we have nothing to lose if I send Saeed out, you know. He was a candidate, but now he's compromised and he's, you know, he's not one of us anyway, so I don't care if he dies.
I don't know, but that's like a mystery right there that, like, I don't even want to be a mystery at this point. Like, come on, it's season 6. Like, well, what are you filling my head with this for? Like, are we going to be wondering, like, a year from now, like, why Dogen mentioned Shepard and Reyes and all this? And, yeah, okay.
Maybe that was just to remind us that they weren't there.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Good. I like that. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Completely useless, and it's like, wait a minute, two of the people that were supposed to be guarding are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But that's, yeah, okay, we'll go with that. But I am curious, though, if Dogen, you know, had some other purpose for them. But, yeah, I think at this point, now that Dogen is dead, I don't think we're ever going to find out the answer to that. So, all right, just adding that to my notes here.
I'm kind of happy he's dead. You know, I got to say, I'm happy they're both dead. I think he's a, like a cool actor and, you know, a cool character too. It would have been great if he had been around since like season three or something, but you know, let's get to the meat of things here. And Dogen, I'm sorry. He's not the meat. He's not really what we care about.
When we met them, I was really worried we were going to have like a whole episode where we learned about Dogen and his history.
Yeah, like a Dogen flashback.
Interesting man, and he's like you said, a very good actor, obviously. But it's season six.
Yeah, no season six, exactly. Like, you know, every episode should be like, holy crap! Like, this is, you know, and we're learning about this and that. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So Diesel 929, yeah, that is an interesting point. So he says he was thinking that when the Man in Black told Saeed he can give him anything he wants, he said, as Alex already said, I was thinking of the magic box, which will never be addressed again, I presume, says Diesel. So, yeah, probably not. You know, honestly, I really think that the magic box was just something. I mean, Ben even told Locke in one episode, look, it was just a metaphor, okay? You know, he's like,
nope.
Sorry. Okay. I'm still here. All right. So anyway, let's move on. So 2004, in this alternate timeline, Nadia says, why didn't you want to be with me? So we finally get kind of, you know, I don't know. See, I never know what to wonder about in the alternate timelines because I'm always like, okay, should I be asking myself this? Does it even matter? Like, this is an alternate timeline. We're never going to know all the details of what's going on behind the scenes because, you know, we're always going to have blanks because it's not just like the flashbacks in the first several seasons where we're going to get some closure and some answers on things. You know, they're like we keep talking about, they're going to wrap this up soon. And so I guess, you know, some things are different and that's just the way it is and we have to roll with that. But anyway, so a curious, you know, element of this alternate timeline was brought up by Nadia. Why didn't you want to be with me? She says, why did you push me towards your brother? So this is the confirmation there that Omer is in fact Saeed's brother. And Saeed says to Nadia, I can't be with you because I don't deserve you. So there we have that. So again, in the alternate timeline, he's still the bad guy torturer and he knows that he's a bad guy. All right, 2007, Saeed delivers the message from the Man in Black that Jacob is dead. And by the way, I mean, even though Dogen and the translator knew this because Hurley told them, presumably they did not go around and tell everybody at the temple that Jacob is dead because that would have just crushed everybody's, you know, hopes of survival and all that kind of stuff. But so Saeed reveals to all the rest of the others that Jacob is in fact dead and that all of the others at the temple, which included among the people who were standing there were Cindy, Zach, and Emma, are free now. And he says that they can choose to leave the island with the man. Why didn't they just give his name? And they have until sundown to choose whether to go with the man or die. Cindy asks, you know, what'll happen if we don't go with him? And Saeed says, then you'll die, basically. And of course, the interesting thing is like, wait, so how is the Man in Black going to kill them when he supposedly can't get in the temple because of the ash and all that? So we'll get back to that in a minute. Do you have a comment?
No, I mean, one thing about that I thought was so cool is Saeed clearly is not like being controlled by the Man in Black. You know, he definitely seemed of his own will, which was definitely cool. You know, a lot of people are theorizing that, you know, if you get the sickness or something, you're kind of controlled by him or whatever. But he clearly was not acting like a zombie or under any kind of spell. You know, he was just Saeed.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I guess I would compare how Said is acting, you know, once we sort of get this idea, this impression that the sickness is really starting to take over. You know, if we compare Said from that point on to how Claire has been acting, you know, Claire, you know, she's singing, you know, Catch a Falling Star, you know, in fact, the next scene I think we're going to be talking about is when that happened. And so she's still got these things from her past that she's hanging on to. And she's kind of like, she has these elements of herself that are still there. So it's not like the smoke monster completely changed her. But she's definitely a very different person. Like, and there are certain things that she thinks she knows as fact that are really not at all true. Like, she thinks that she knows for sure that the others stole Aaron from her. And, you know, I mean, she's kind of loony. I mean, she left Aaron behind and she doesn't remember that. So, I mean, she definitely seems in that sense like she's like kind of almost under a spell or kind of entranced or something. But, Said, I guess he acts a little bit more independently. I mean, he's acting, at least at this point, he's acting more like Said than like a deranged, you know, lunatic, even though he, you know, I mean, Said's a murderer, torturer guy. And so, you know, he's going to do crazy psychotic things now and then, I guess. So anyway, I don't know.
It is interesting that what he said in LAX when he thought he was dying, remember, he said, I don't think I'm going to a good place after I die. You
know, right.
He knows that he's not, or he believes that he's not a good person. So, I mean, it's very interesting to see his, you know, the way his story has gone and, you know, the whole thing about being evil and good and the scale, you know, where was he before the sickness? I mean, he wasn't exactly Mr. Wonderful. I mean, he was. I love Said as a character, but like you said, he's a murderer and a torturer, and you know, even he admits that he's not a good person.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to move on here. Claire. Yes. So I think that's where we left off in my notes here. So Claire's being held in a pit inside the temple, and she's singing "Catch a Falling Star" to herself. It almost looked to me like she was singing it to, you know, some imaginary thing next to her, as though she was pretending her baby was there or something. I don't know. And she's singing this as Kate approaches. Of course, Catch a Falling Star, is the song that Christian Shepherd used to sing to her when she was a baby. And it was also the song that was, playing in the nursery in the medical station when Claire was taken captive by Ethan.
Yeah. I just want to jump in here, Josh, as far as Catch a Falling Star. I got to give like Giacchino like major props. This is the first like musical montage he's ever put together like with words in it. Like, did you catch that whole like sequence? That was like the Catch a Falling Star sequence as they're exiting the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just nuts. And I don't know if I'm going to be still called in when you get to that, but yes, that was, I think
it was creepy.
So far, top Giacchino moment for season 6 was by far for me that sequence.
Yeah. So where, yeah, this is when, after the smoke monster has sort of ravaged the other, you know, the temple. Now, you know, Kate is walking out. She apparently survived only because she sort of went in the pit with Claire. And she's walking out with, you know, Claire, and Said is standing there. You know, you've got these two infected people that Kate is kind of hanging out with, and all these people around the temple are all dead. And there's this creepy version of Catch a Falling Star that's kind of playing in the background. Yeah. So yeah, that was a good musical.
That was like, I was just kind of in shock when I saw that. That was great.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So. Okay, so Kate tells Claire that she raised Aaron, and that she came back to the island to rescue Claire so they could be meaning, you know, Claire and Aaron could be together again. But this still makes Claire upset. And if you remember, you know, Claire told Jin in the last episode, or, well, I guess, was it the last, I think it was last week, that if what Jin had been saying was true and that Kate had taken Aaron, that she would kill Kate. So we'll see what happens about that, because now apparently Kate is hanging out with Claire. In fact, I'm going to add that to my notes, because I'm curious about what is going to end up happening with that. Okay. And then, basically, so Kate says that she's there to rescue Claire, and Claire says that she isn't the one who needs to be rescued. And as the others are kind of taking Kate away from the pit, she says, "He's coming, Kate, and they can't stop him." Meanwhile, the translator, Lennon, is trying to get everybody to stay, but nobody listens to him, including Cindy. And Saeed says to Miles, pulling out the knife, "I have to return this." And, of course, I'm thinking he's going to go stab Dogen, but he has a little bit, something a little more sinister in mind. 2004, alternate timeline. Martin Kimi turns out to be one of the bad guys. Of course, we remember Kimi from, you know, Charles Widmore's band of mercenaries that he sent to the island to kill Ben. And so Martin Kimi is one of these thugs, and it sort of seems as though he's the leader, but he offers Saeed some eggs, and Saeed kills him. And so that was kind of cool. I guess he kind of, in a way, roundabout way, got Kimi back for kicking his butt in that one fight scene. even though that was in a different timeline, but.
And this was like something we were also kind of talking about on O's podcast at the end when I called in, and like the question sort of became, well, you know, in this timeline, is Kimi still working for Widmore? He's clearly involved with Pike somehow, if we believe that Jin was still sort of on a mission, you know, connected to Pike, and perhaps Pike is tied to Widmore. So like, Is Widmore this sort of like, I don't know, corporate thug, you know, sort of, you know, mafioso corporate entity? Or, you know, is Kimi working for Widmore? That was kind of the question.
Yeah, that is an interesting question. So kind of the next thing after Saeed kills Kimi, Saeed hears someone banging around in the other room. He opens the door and finds Jin tied up, and Jin has obviously been beaten, and he still, you know, speaks only Korean. But and that's the end of that. We don't get any more of the alternate timeline in this episode. I thought the same thing as far as Martin Kimi maybe works for Sun's father, Mr. Paik. We don't know how Jin ended up here, but, you know, I mean, if anyone's coming after Jin, presumably that would be who it is. And, you know, maybe in this alternate timeline, Jin still had the same plan that he was going to run off with Sun after he got to Los Angeles. And, you know, maybe Mr. Paik found out about this and caught him. And so I was thinking the same thing about Mr. Paik. Maybe Martin Kimi actually works for him. But, yeah, I hadn't even thought about the possible connection between Widmore and Paik. I'm racking my brain. It seems to me like at some point in the show, there has been a hint previously about a connection between Widmore and Paik.
It was the Lost experience after season two. It was not, I don't think there's ever been a direct connection in the show itself, but I think there were like hints of it in the viral campaign. Yeah. But I would be especially that first viral campaign was kind of like more tied into the mythology than the subsequent one. So I would peg them as working together. But we don't really know for sure. No, it's not canon, I guess.
Right. But it is interesting, though, the idea that there could be some connection between
And it's Kimi. And, like, just on that alone, like, let's say Jin wasn't there. Like, well, we know Kimi was working for Widmore, you know, sort of in the other timeline, although, albeit years later. It was only a couple months later that Kimi was sent. Because, yeah, it was only a couple months later that they sent the freighter over. So, yeah, he would have been working for Whitmore about the same time. So, yeah, the question kind of remains, is Whitmore more of a thug in this timeline? Sort of, you know. Yeah, that's, I think, the question.
Yeah. I definitely agree.
Well, and then, you know, also, is Whitmore even, like, alive? Because as far as we know, Whitmore was on the island when the nuke went off, along with Richard and whatever else.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's
else.
A good point.
So in this timeline where the nuke went off, I mean, I'm assuming that anyone who was on the island is gone, you know, who didn't get off in the sub.
Right.
Wait, I think when did Whitmore get
Whitmore left like in the 80s. Like he was banished in the 80s. Like in the 70s, he was like riding around on a horse and like waking Ben up and stuff. He was still on the island.
It was
in 77. When the bomb went off, he still should have been on the island.
Yes. Yeah. And Justin's right.
Yeah. So yeah, I think was it last week or a couple weeks ago? I remember we were talking about this the same thing, like. You know, what about all these people? I mean, there were a whole bunch of people who had been, on the island, and presumably even, you know, presumably the women and children got off because that was Dr. Chang's plan, and, you know, was for his wife and Miles to leave the island. And, so he asked he ordered basically the evacuation of all the women and children. And so we know they got off the island.
Yeah. And that explains Ethan getting off and
right.
All that as well. Yeah.
Right. So Ethan got off of the island, and, you know, and presumably there are other, members of the Dharma Initiative who are safe, who could potentially even recognize Jack and Kate and so forth as time travelers if they were ever to see them.
That's so true.
I'm counting on that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen, but that would be way awesome if something like that did happen in the alternate timeline.
I mean, Ben was like 13 or 12 or something when he left.
The Saeed.
And we've seen that Ben got off the island.
You know, yeah. That is interesting. So, but
you didn't see Locke. So he's now met Locke. We've seen that scene in The Substitute, but he wouldn't recognize Locke because Locke wasn't there in the 70s. But what if he comes across, like Jack, Viet, you know, any of the others? That would be nuts. Oh my God, that would be crazy.
Well, okay, now you bring up a really interesting question here, because did Ben ever get off the island in the original timeline? I mean,
he did. He was there. He clearly got off on the sub. That's the only way he could be there.
Well, what I mean is when he was a little kid, and then did he go back to the island? You know, did he go off the island during the incident? Because he was one of the kids in Dharmaville at the time, and then he came back to the island, because we know with Dr. Chang's wife and Miles, like, they stayed off the island.
Yeah, but everyone else came back. I mean, we got to assume that, or I'm assuming that, like, Ethan, for example, any women and children that were sort of around and who are others that are post, like, others from Dharma or just Dharma that came back, like, and were around for the purge, for example, Horace must have gotten off as well, because he was alive during the purge. I don't know, but then Chang would have had, oh man, this is pretty confusing.
Well,
like,
part of what's confusing here, I think, is that we're kind of making an assumption about whether lots and lots of people would have died in the original timeline. Because, you know, in the original timeline, there was not
a
hydrogen
bomb. Right, there was not a nuclear blast. Right. So, yeah, so Horace would have been alive, Chang would have been alive, yeah. So, yeah, I'm sticking with Ben got on the sub in both timelines and made the return in the original timeline and then didn't make the return in the one we're watching now.
Ben went to the temple. He got hurt. Remember, he was shot. They brought him to the others, and they took him to the temple. so we never saw them give him back. I mean, he definitely got off the island somehow, but
that's right. Yeah, he was with them.
I don't know how.
All right, so let's get us back on track. 2007, Said doesn't kill Dogen at first. He has this conversation with him, right? Okay, so Dogen says that he was a bank employee in Osaka and was very successful. So apparently not from the Black Rock anyway. He says, and this is, again, more or less an exact quote. I typed it out as fast as I could. But he said, every Friday I picked up my son from baseball. He was 12. And by the way, he had just before this, he said, you know, with his success in Osaka and whatever else, that, you know, he would go out drinking a lot. And so it's sort of implied here that, he got in an accident because of his drinking. Anyway, he says, I picked my son up from baseball every Friday. He was 12. The accident was very bad. I survived, but my son, and then in the hospital, a man came to me, a man I had never met. He told me that he could save my son's life, but I would have to come here to this island where I would have a new job. And I could never see my boy again. And Said asks, who was this man? And Dogen says, his name was Jacob. And then he goes on to say, the man outside, I take it he offered you a similar bargain. So this kind of makes me wonder, because is Jacob also a bad guy? I mean, what did Dogen do? It doesn't sound like Dogen did anything. I mean, you know, he had been apparently, you know, kind of reading between the lines from his story. He had been drinking and, you know, got in an accident, and his son died, right?
I'm confused about this. Maybe I misunderstood the story. He went out drinking with his friends.
Yeah.
And then drove to pick up his son from, like, baseball practice or whatever it was, and then got into a car accident?
That's what it kind of sounded like to me. I mean, he sort of jumped from the drinking to every Friday I picked up my son from baseball, but I kind of made that assumption that that's what, you know...
You know, I've obviously had friends that drink, and I've drank myself, of course. That's his friend's fault just as much as it might be his. If he's drunk out of his mind, don't let him go drive to go pick up his kid.
Yeah.
I'm like, I must have heard that story wrong. Because, I mean, yeah, obviously he did something very wrong. But, like, he's got some bad friends.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it. But,
yeah.
Like that was a weird story.
Yeah, I agree. It was kind of a weird story, and I don't know. Anyway, that's what I kind of got out of it that he was trying to say. But my point is that, you know, it seems like he was almost sort of deceived by Jacob to coming to this island, you know, like kind of tricked into doing it, like this would be some way for him to redeem himself or something like that. The way he puts it, you know, he kind of agrees with Said's terminology of it being a bargain, you know. And, you know, so Jacob tells Dogen that he would have a new job and he could never see his boy again. Well, and see, he just had gotten finished saying, I survived but my son, and then he trails off. So we're left to kind of think that his son died, but then Jacob says, I would have a new job and I could never see my boy again. So there were, I don't know, the story is very confusing, but, I mean, the way he tells it, it's almost as though he sort of resents Jacob for bringing him to the island. And there's sort of this implication that Jacob and the man in black are similar in some way, that they sort of recruit people to be on their side, and that there's not really any good or bad between the two of them. That, which is weird, because we also have Dogen, you know, testing Said to see if he's evil. And, you know, when he is determined to be evil, they assume he must be, you know, in cahoots with the smoke monster. And so there's this implication on one hand that Jacob is a good guy. And then from this story, it kind of leaves us to wonder what's really going on. You know, maybe Jacob isn't quite the good guy that we may have been led to believe that he is. Which is weird coming from Dogen, because I would have expected, if anybody, to kind of give a glowing, you know, account of who Jacob is, you know, and maybe I'm misinterpreting that. I don't know. Do you guys have a different thought about that?
No, I definitely think that they're suggesting that neither one is all good or all bad. a central point of Lost. You know, and
I know. It's
about the scale. You know, everybody has a scale. Good on one side, bad on the other, and I really like that they pointed that out.
Well, and in the entire series, they've been going into parallels about, you know, there's been this whole theme about black and white, for example, right? And so, you know, it was right there as far back as the first season, the first few episodes, they were getting into black and white, how there's a light side and a dark side, you know, going back to Locke's little monologue to Walt, you know, about backgammon. And, you know, earlier in the season, a couple episodes ago, you know, the man in black, you know, looks at this scale that's in the cave and he throws the white rock stone into the water, sort of symbolic of, you know, Jacob being dead and now evil is triumphing or something like that. You know, I mean, there have been so many hints about it being a good versus evil thing. And now they're sort of, I mean, even in this episode, and then now it almost seemed like from that conversation, they're hinting that maybe Jacob isn't quite so good after all. So I don't know. We'll see. All right. And I apologize, by the way, to the people in the chat. I know there are a lot of problems with TalkShoe tonight. I've had the chat stop working for me like 3 times already. So I apologize to anybody who's having to deal with TalkShoe problems. All right. So Jacob may be a bad guy. Okay. So then Dogen says that it's sundown. And he asks Saeed, will you choose to stay or go? And then Saeed says, I'd like to stay. And immediately after that, he pulls Dogen into the water, kind of throws him in and drowns him. So Saeed basically got his revenge for Dogen's group, you know, having killed him before. And, you know, apparently by accident. I mean, they knew that there were risks, as they put it, to, you know, Saeed's friends, but they had no other choice to try to save Saeed's life. But ultimately, they apparently ended up drowning him. As Miles said earlier in the episode, he was dead for 2 hours. And if anyone knows if someone's dead, I would guess it would be Miles. But let's see here. But here's another thing about that. So Saeed drowns Dogen, but if I'm not mistaken, the water had been bubbling when Dogen was dying. Is that some sort of a hint that maybe the water was now working? And I'm kind of getting back to what B. Wood was talking about earlier about, you know, how Jacob, maybe it seemed like he was touching the water or something like that. Maybe at least he was sitting next to the water. You know, maybe he did something to the water to, I don't know, make its healing properties start to work again. And so maybe Dogen will come back to life and he won't be dead after all. What do you think about that?
let's just leave Dogen dead. That's what I think.
All right. So, yeah, I guess it could go either way. I don't know if it's entirely clear that Dogen is for sure dead just because of the bubbling water. I mean, it seems like, I don't know. I mean, at first I thought, okay, he's surely dead. But then again, I don't know. You never know. The water was bubbling, and I don't recall that happening when we were holding Saeed underwater.
What happened here? Like, what happened? Like, why are we now, like, back in the day, it used to be like, oh, dead is dead and whatever. Why are we now saying, like, oh, this guy can just come back to life? Like, no. Like, the guy is dead. Like, the one chance he had of living was killed, was Lennon, who was also killed by Saeed. So I'm really hoping that, well, I mean, it's not like I'm so anti-Dogen, you know, that I don't want the guy to come back, but I'm just kind of hoping, like, yeah, I am hoping that he's dead and is not coming back. I guess I am kind of anti-Dogen coming back.
And B. Wood in the chat asks, was the water clear? I would say, I mean, it definitely had color to it, but you could see through it. And so I don't know what their definition of clear is.
I mean, I've got the HD, thing. I'm going to back it up right now to that scene, but I'm pretty sure it was still kind of murky brown. Yeah, no, there's a shot here.
It was brown.
Underwater. and it's murky brown.
Yeah, but I mean, but you can't, I mean, it's clear enough that you can see what's going on. I mean, you see him drop his baseball and so forth.
Yeah, but it's not like clear. Like when you think of clear water, that's not what you think of.
Yeah, it wasn't, I wouldn't describe it as clean water. I mean, I wouldn't want to drink that stuff.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is clear versus not clear, because they make that distinction in the LAX. And this, yeah, I think the water is in the same state as it was in LAX. I mean, after all, this is only like a day or something later.
Hmm. So what about the bubbles
same day? Is this the same day? Yeah, this is like I think it's the same day. Well, that Kate leaves and everything, it all kind of happens, it's all kind of compressed into the same day, I think.
No, but Kate, I don't think Kate trekked all the way back and made it all back on the same day, do you?
Well, did was it ever nighttime up until now? No. Like,
I'm not sure.
Right now, Jack, I think, like, you know how Lost, they show us stuff, like,
simultaneously? Yeah, they usually show nighttime and
like,
all that.
So, like, right now, Hurley and Jack, like, this is the same day that Hurley and Jack went to go to the lighthouse, and this is the same day that, like, Richard was tied up in the tree, and it's the same day that he met Claire and he met Sawyer. It's all kind of happening on the same day, I think.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. It seems like an awful lot has been compressed into a single day, but I guess it's possible. I can't recall right off the top of my head whether we've seen any obvious.
Or if nothing else, it's a day after LAX, but it's not like much time has passed. I don't think that the water has suddenly like changed its properties.
Well, I don't know. It was just a thought. I mean, there's
sort of beyond that. So yes, I guess in theory, the same thing that happened to Saeed could happen to Dogen, but. Come on.
Well, that's interesting, too. Yeah, what if he comes back as Zombie Dogen or something?
I hope not.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's exactly what happened to Saeed, right? I mean, he got dunked in this water, and then he was dead for 2 hours, and then all of a sudden he's a zombie? Like, you know, I don't know.
I'd just like to think that they would, you know, spend hour 7 through... 18, not, you know, explaining to us why Dogen has come back from the dead or something.
I'm ready to accept that the next several episodes are going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, this episode was unbelievable, in my opinion. This is the pace I want for season 6.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I mean, we're recording on a lot long. I mean, this is a much longer episode than like last week, for example. I mean, we have a lot more to talk about, I think, this week. A lot more like things to kind of theorize and speculate about. But
when I saw on your feed that it was so short last week, I was surprised because I actually found last week's better than the Locke episode. But
I don't think it was a bad episode. I just thought there were less kind of like things to theorize about. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, last week was definitely much more character-driven and such, which is a good thing. I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah, I guess it was more character-driven. I just thought it was so nuts that Jack had a son, and I guess I kind of got hung up on that. That and the lighthouse stuff, I really got
right.
hung up on.
Yeah, the lighthouse, that was very cool. I agree with that. All right, well, enough about whether Dogen might come back to life.
Yeah, sorry, I've totally driven you on a tangent, sorry.
No, that was kind of my fault, too, because I kept getting into the whole, you know, bubbles, was the water clear, blah, blah. Anyway, so the translator guy then shows up, and he says, do you realize what you just did? He was the only thing keeping it out. You just let it in. And I'm like, well, and okay, so first, Saeed says, I know. And then he kills the translator, slashes his throat with a knife, right? So, and then immediately the smoke monster enters the temple and begins killing people. And, you know, so wait, what happened? Like, this is what I don't get. Okay. So what the heck was the purpose of the ash? Cause we have been led to believe that the ash is what has been keeping the smoke monster out of the temple. It seems to be what, you know, prevented the smoke monster from directly attacking Bram. Instead, he had to, like, shake the room around and have something fall on him or not, you know, knock him out of the circle. I mean, you know, we've gotten all these things about the ash and how it keeps Jacob, or keeps, sorry, the Man in Black, in place. And now it turns out, well, okay, it doesn't really matter. Really, it's all about Dogen. I mean, does Dogen activate the ash? I mean, this is, like, what the heck is going on?
You need a special ring to activate the ash.
So, I mean...
You need a dog whistle to activate the ash.
So does there have to be, like, a leader at the temple? Like, a specific leader? I mean, did it have to be Dogen in particular? I mean, apparently, when Dogen died, now all of a sudden... You know, according to Lenin, that enabled the smoke monster to come in spite of the ash. So I'm so confused. Like, what the heck was the ash for then?
Well, if that's the case, then again, it wasn't very smart of the others to put the one person that was protecting them from Smokey sitting next to the person that they suspect is pure evil now.
Duh. Yeah. Like, why are you letting him hang out with Saeed, you morons? You know?
Yeah, I really think they need to explain that. It's frustrating, you know, is what it is. Like, I mean, I really love this episode, but
yeah,
stuff, because for years now they've been kind of talking about the ash, and you know, we just sort of started learning more about it this season, and you know, this episode almost turns it on its head, like you said, like it doesn't even matter, and I really hope that they explain that more, even if they show that, you know, Claire or someone kicked the ash aside a little bit. And they're like, oh, we didn't see that before. That would be a slightly annoying.
At least if they could have shown us something like that, like some little hint that somebody had kicked the ash out of the way. I don't know.
They really need to. It doesn't have to be a whole episode, but even one line of dialogue that needs to explain what went on there.
Well, and I mean, I guess, you know, they allowed Claire to come in. Maybe when she walked in, she like kicked the ash and they didn't show it and nobody noticed it. But I mean, it would have been nice if they'd at least told us something like that. But on the other hand, though, Lenin knew, I mean, he presumably didn't know that the ash had been messed with. He just knew that if Dogen was dead, then, you know, the smoke monster could come in. So I don't know.
But you're right. Focused on the ash with the camera. It's not just like we saw it in the background. Or...
No, I know. Well, that's what even reminded me of this. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at, you know, Dark UFO's lost screen caps, and there's one of the ash, and that's what reminded me of it. I'm like, oh yeah, they actually took the time to take a shot of the ash in this episode. So, I mean, I wouldn't have even thought about that if it hadn't been for that screen cap. So I'm going...
And then they made such a big deal of, like, Claire stepping over it, as opposed to breaking it open.
And that lock...
Oh, is that what it was?
Standing beyond the ash. Like, he couldn't go in. And I'm like, oh, that's... Like, he can't go in because of the ash. But then, obviously, like...
Yeah, I thought he was going to have Claire bust it open. I mean, that was my theory last week. But, you know, clearly not. Clearly you don't need Claire to bust open the ash to unleash all hell on... temple.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, so potential continuity or just plain horrible writing aside.
It's a continuity thing. I think there's something else to the ash that we're not quite getting yet. There's something else going on there with the whole ash situation and Smokey that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, well, I guess. It
doesn't even work if Jacob is dead. You know, I mean that. You know,
well, that it still worked. It still worked after Jacob was dead, but it doesn't work after Dogen is dead. Like, what the heck? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I don't know.
I don't know. I think it may to quote the coincidence and fate thing. It may just be a coincidence that Dogen died and the other, you know, and Smokey came into the temple.
When Lenin yells at him, I almost wanted to say to Lenin, this guy, according to you, has a sickness and is evil, and he just spent, like, 20 minutes talking to the smoke monster. Like, what did you think he would do?
Like, right.
And with, like, clearly David, and he just announced to everyone that Man in Black is coming, and he's going to kill everyone that doesn't join him. Like, come on, Lennon, think a little.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty, that's, that was
not the one hanging out with Dogen.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, so Claire, for some reason, goes to rescue infected, psychotic Claire. Although, I don't know, Kate doesn't know that Claire's infected, but she at least knows that Claire is kind of psychotic, you know, but, so she goes to rescue Claire, and, basically, saves, you know, herself instead of Claire. Claire is like hiding in the pit, and she says, "Oh, actually, you'd be safer in here with me." And right that at that moment, the smoke monster zips by, and Claire, hanging onto the edge of the you know, sort of the edge of the pit, and kind of hanging inside, she survives. And you know, that'll be really interesting. I can't wait to see whether Claire will kill Kate ultimately, because Claire told Jin, you know, if that's true, if, you know, if Kate really took my baby and raised him and all that, I'm going to kill Kate. And now we have Kate hanging out with Claire apparently and going out with, you know, to hang out with the smoke monster and all of his buddies. So I don't know. That's bizarre. It's funny to me that Claire didn't attack Kate. Like, I mean, what is she doing? She's just waiting for her chance to kill Kate, or she wasn't really serious about wanting to kill Kate after all?
Well this also, is something... Oh, sorry, Josh, go.
Well, I'll just say quickly, the look that, you know, not Locke, or whatever you want to call him, gives Kate when she walks out of the temple is amazing. It was almost a look of, like, what are you doing here? And I just love it. He looks at her like she wasn't supposed to come, but okay, let's go. And, you know, I do think that Claire was just biding her time and, you know, waiting to see if Kate was first telling the truth and how she could get Aaron back, and then she'll kill her.
Well, yeah. Like, there's a couple of things that bother me about the whole Kate-Claire thing from the past two episodes. The first one I kind of mentioned in the chat, which was that, like, Jack says to Kate last week, like, oh, yeah, something happened to Claire, and Kate doesn't even follow up on that. She's just like, oh, I got to find Claire. She doesn't even ask what happened to Claire. Like, Claire could be dead. Claire could, like, have, you know, an arrow stuck through her chest. Like, who knows? But Kate doesn't even follow up. Like, you know, of course, Jack knows she's infected and doesn't share that. And Kate goes running off.
Well,
that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, like, Kate doesn't offer... Or, I mean, part of it she doesn't have time to, but, like, she doesn't offer any of the information that's, like, really important, which is, like, your mother is alive and out of a coma. Like, I think that would be pretty important to Claire, like, to know. Like, because when Claire got on the plane, you know, as far as she knew, her mother was dead, you know, brain dead. And, like, now her mother's, you know, running around visiting funerals and stuff. And,
but maybe Kate didn't know that the mother had been brain dead. She might not have known that.
All right, but you know what? Aaron is with her mom. You think she's like? You think she'd mention, "Hey, Aaron is living with your mother. My mother.
Yeah.
Mother's around. Yeah, your mother's fine. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like,
she didn't say anything about.
It would be, you know, we thought you were dead. I took him to the mainland to, you know, to take care of him. I so wanted you to take care of him that I came back to the island, left him with your mother, and now we can go back, you know, to the United States together and you can raise him." Like, you know, Claire's a little bit of a nut, so maybe you wouldn't connect the first time, but saying, "I took him, I've been raising him, Claire." I mean,
Mom
would be a little nuts if that's what someone told you.
Yeah, is that the first thing you'd say, "I took him"? Not the first thing you'd say. The first thing you'd say is Aaron is safe. The first thing you would say to a mother who has lost their child for 3 years is, "Your son is alive. He's with your mother." That would probably be like the first sentence.
What?
It wouldn't be, "Oh, I took him, Jin, you know, we didn't know where you were." No, that would not be the first sentence.
Well, Kate's not the brightest.
Yeah, clearly.
She's, Kate, which kind of makes me mad, because Kate in the past has shown that she's quite savvy, but they have her be pretty dumb when they want her to be.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways,
well,
sorry, that was my rant. Okay.
So, we're almost at the end of the episode. There were a couple other little things that I took notes on. Okay, so Ilana and, you know, as Miles is kind of, like, running through the temple, somebody's apparently trying to, like, bust in, and it turns out it's Ilana and Ben and Sun. They're all here at the temple all at the same time, and it's like, where did you guys come from? This is weird, and, you know, impeccable timing on top of that, but somehow they all got there at the temple right at this moment. And Ilana asks, where are Shepard and Reyes and Ford? What about Jarrah? Is he here? Ben goes after Saeed, and Ben tells Saeed there's still time. And Saeed, with blood dripping from his knife and an evil smile on his face, says, not for me. There's not time for me. I'm already infected. I'm a goner, so leave. And, basically is kind of his look and response. And he just had this evil look on his face. And so Ben kind of just backs away and says, okay, I'm getting out of here. And I thought it was interesting that Sun is there too. So she hears from Miles that Jin is still alive. As far as Miles knew, he said Jin was still alive, but he wasn't there at the temple. So they keep missing each other, you know. This is, I don't know. So hopefully Jin is going to survive, but it seems, I didn't notice at the end of the episode, was Jin among the people who were standing outside, with the, with the smoke monster and all of his homies?
I'll look right now. I'll look.
Okay. I'm trying to look at some screen caps too from Dark UFO's site, and I don't know. It's hard to tell.
On my show, if he's not there, we came up with a little small theory, which is that he, if Jin is still injured, then Sawyer stayed back with him to kind of, you know, take care of him while they went on to do that little mission at the temple.
No, I don't see Jin or Sawyer, but I do see the mysterious kid who's like the temple
really?
Kid.
Really?
The blonde kid that's pretty Locke?
No. The kid who, I think I mentioned this to Josh.
With the bloody arms that looked like a jam?
No. The other kid, the kid who's been hanging around on the temple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not
Zach and Emma.
There's like
another kid
who got.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Which
okay.
of course begs the question: where the hell did this kid come from? And you know, and he's like, he looks like he's 6 years old or something. I mean, he's little, or seven or something. I don't know, or eight. I don't really know.
Which is pretty bizarre. If the others apparently can't,
screenshot.
Give birth on the island and all that right now. So yeah, they must have captured him recently, fairly recently. Or else they maybe up there at the temple, they have some miraculous way that they can have kids even though nobody else can. I don't know.
Yeah, but Dogen says, you know, the same way we all got here or whatever. Like, he implies to Jack that, like, everyone on the island sort of was brought to the island.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I guess he did say that. I didn't get that out of it that you know nobody was ever born there recently, but that could have been part of what he was getting at with that comment. That's true.
I'm gonna upload this picture. Keep you know don't let me distract you. Sorry.
No problem.
I do think it's odd that there's like this kid in all these. He's just an extra, but you know he's in all these scenes since like the first episode.
Yeah.
Same kid each time. Right. Hello?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just taking notes real quick.
All right, yeah, I just posted it in the chat, the picture.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. Oh, nuts. It looks like my chat cut out again. Darn you, TalkShoe. This is like the fourth or fifth time that I've had to reconnect tonight.
And I'm going to pull up, he was in it last week. I'm going to pull up another screenshot. Yeah, and I even looked on Lostpedia. There was no page. I figured someone would have made a page because sometimes, like, people make pages about extras that keep reappearing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't one.
So just to describe it for the people who are listening to the audio, so there's this boy, and as you say, he, you know, maybe looks like he's around 6 years old or something like that.
Yeah,
and he has dark hair, like maybe
7. I can't really place the age, but...
Well,
but
yeah, in this particular screenshot...
And he's been in several episodes now. I mean, I first saw someone mention it on Twitter. Like, that was how I first found out about it. And that was, like, I think after the first episode or the second episode. It was, like, you know, someone was asking, like, you know, what's up with this kid? And then ever since then, I've kind of had an eye out for him. And he's been in a couple other episodes. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, last week it was the scene when Jack... Hurley is trying to convince Jack, you know, to like when they're in the courtyard, and he's like, you know, be cool, man, don't look around, you know, and telling Jack, you know, they need to go off and meet Jacob.
Well, if you get a chance to put another screenshot of maybe the front of that kid,
you know, I'm pulling it up now. The
okay. Yeah, the screenshot that you posted just now for people who are listening in and can't look at it at the moment, it's from behind, like it's kind of above and behind him, so we just see like the top of his head, but you can definitely tell. I mean, there's this little kid in the group there, so yeah, I know you've mentioned him before, so I haven't really thought much about it, and I mean he it could just be that this is some random casting thing. But just the fact, like, I mean, I agree with you on the fact that his age kind of makes it fishy because, you know, apparently they can't have kids in the island, so where did he come from? I mean, he wasn't on Flight 815 that we know of. The only kids we know of that were taken were Zach and Emma. They would have made a bigger deal out of it if other kids had been taken from the tail section, right? So we don't know who this kid is at all. But interesting. Okay. And I don't think I really have anything else in the way of, like, Easter eggs or anything like that. Oh, let's see. I guess there were a couple more little things I had in my notes from the episode. So Ilana opens a secret passageway, and they escape from the temple just before the smoke monster comes by. Kate follows Claire out into the courtyard and sees all the dead bodies. And, of course, this is where that Catch a Falling Star evil, you know, scary music was playing. And... she picks up a gun, which I thought was interesting. Like, here, like, Kate's not really on their side, and she's picking up a gun, and, like, nobody, like, stops her. She just lifts a gun off of one of the dead bodies, and she walks outside with infected Claire and infected Saeed, you know? And they're just cool with that, I guess. That's about it. I don't think I've got anything else in my notes. So did anybody else have anything from this episode that we haven't brought up so far?
Did we talk about, Kimi? Yeah, I think you did talk about it. No, nothing else.
Okay. What specifically about Kimi?
I don't know if I was around for the Kimi discussion, but I think you covered it. Yeah, we talked about it, about how, like, you know, Saeed kind of lost the first fight against Kimi, but this time he ended up killing Kimi. Like, in season 4, when it takes Richard to save him. Like, basically, Kimi's right about to kill Saeed, but this time around, Saeed kills Kimi on his own. That was about it.
Diesel929 in the chat says... I love how Lana didn't wait for Ben before shutting the door. Reminded me of when Ben shut the door on Juliet in the Hydra. So now Ben is in the temple alone. Did anybody notice whether Ben got out?
No, Ben didn't get out, as far as we saw.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I totally didn't even pick up on that. That's a good thought.
Yeah.
Let's see... another question from the chat. Bailey Bear asks, do you think Claire got infected by the water? I don't know. I mean, I think we've kind of had this discussion a little bit before. Some people think that maybe she got infected back, in, I guess it was it season 4 where they're at New Otherton and, like the house that she was in, like it's blown up or something like that. I really need to go watch that episode. I meant to do that.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to
yet. I mean, that's basically it. Like, you know, one of the mercenaries shoots like an RPG at the house she's in and, it blows up. And then Sawyer kind of is going through the rubble and he finds Claire and she's asking about Charlie. And then, you know, and then takes her back to the house where Ben and Hurley are. and then and Miles. And then there's a deleted scene that takes place in that house where Claire is asking Hurley if she's dead or not. And that, of course, you know, feeds kind of right into all these theories that she was dead and stuff.
And that the deleted scene is on the season 4 DVD set?
Yeah, and she's asking about her father. It's probably on YouTube. I can see if I can pull it up. But, yeah, she's, you know, asking if her father is there, and he's like, you know, what are you talking about? We're not dead.
Once again, TalkShoe is failing on me, and I'm having to to get back in the chat, so sorry, bear with me for a second.
Here, I'm going to paste the link to that scene in the chat. And I also pasted another screenshot of the kid. I don't know if you saw it from last week's episode.
Yeah, that was the, yeah.
The old lady holding him.
Right, yeah, I saw that, yeah. So, and in that picture, you can actually see the front. You can see his face. And I think he looks a little older than 6, maybe, but...
Yeah, I don't know. From the back and the other shot, I thought maybe he was younger. But, yeah, I don't know, 8 or something, or 9.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which would place him, well before... Like, if he was born on the island, you know, well before the Losties showed up. I mean, even if he was 6, it would have been years before they showed up, 3 years before, if he was born on the island, which would make no sense at all.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. So, okay, so Congested Alex gave the a link to that deleted scene where Hurley's apparently talking to Claire. And so I'll put that in the show notes, too. That's very interesting. I'm curious about that. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch at least that part of the episode too. Very, very weird. I vaguely seem to remember watching this deleted scene, but yeah, I'm going to have to watch it again kind of in the context of the show. All right. Well, thanks for that. I'll definitely check that out again soon. What was the name of that episode too, in case other people listening now want to go back to that?
Oh man, I don't know. That let's see, that's season 4. I can find out. Hold on.
Was it yeah? Was it The Shape of Things to Come? That's a Diesel set.
It sounds about the right time.
It was either that one or the one right after it, I guess.
Yeah, it would have been, because, yeah, I'm looking now, that's a Ben episode, so that would be it, because that was the Ben episode when they came and totally tore up New Otherton.
Yeah, this is it.
It was The Shape of Things to Come, yeah.
Okay, so I'll put a link to that in the chat, too, just as a reminder to people, and, or sorry, in the show notes, I mean. Yeah, thanks to Diesel929 for coming to the rescue. Good job, Paul. All right, so, yeah, definitely going to have to watch that scene again. Claire's house is destroyed by an RPG. There's even a screenshot of it in the Lostpedia article. All right, so anybody else have any other questions or thoughts before we call it a day? I actually, you know what, I took notes on the preview for next week, but I can't find them. I could have sworn that I had them here, but honestly, there wasn't really much that stood out that I really got out of it. So
there was just one line in it that freaked me out.
Well, it doesn't look like anybody else has any comments or theories in the chat. Either that or my chat is stuck again. I don't know. yeah, it looks like it's stuck. Wonderful. Thanks again, TalkShoe. Appreciate it. So, yeah, okay, go ahead and what line was that?
I don't remember verbatim, but I don't know if you want to go into a special section or spoilers or whatever.
Yeah, so, okay, spoiler alert. Anybody who doesn't want to be spoiled potentially by this one tiny line from the preview for next episode, please tune out now.
It basically had, you know, showed Ben walking around the island, and he said, you know, this man who has led to so many deaths, you know, will finally meet his demise.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So it's implied that it's a Ben-centric episode. And that Ben is going to die, right?
Yeah, that's what they suggest. And both I and Amanda on our show were saying that we would both be very angry if that does happen, and they gave it away in the friggin' preview. Like,
yeah.
You can't give that kind of thing away.
No, that's true. And you know what's funny? I totally didn't even, like, hear them say, like, he's going to meet his demise. But my wife picked up on that, because I remember, now that you say that, that she was like, so Ben's going to die? And I totally didn't even pick up on that. So, yeah, that hopefully, I agree. I hope they didn't give that away. And, you know, if they're going to tell us that he's going to die, it better be a pretty darn awesome death. So, to make up for...
I just like to wear last week, because that was the greatest preview I've ever seen in my life.
Oh.
Like, let me show you, like, a few seconds of this.
All we can show you is these two tiny little seconds from the next episode, and all the rest we're going to just show you static. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a little too gimmicky, but I guess
it is. I what the episode was about, though. I loved it.
Yeah.
I do absolutely no spoilers. I mean, all I know is the, you know, title of the episode and who it's about.
So Diesel 99 says, so he's going to be judged again. You know, I'm not even so sure if, like, the judging thing, like, if, I don't, where did Ben even get the idea about judgment? Like, it doesn't even, I don't know. Like, where did he get this idea that you can be judged by the monster and it'll determine whether you should live or not? Like, he's kind of, I don't know. It almost seems like something he made up, you know? I mean, obviously, like,
yeah, I think he pulled it out of, you know, to his bottom.
Right. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, I know fans had theorized about that, but we never really got any, like, strong indication of that on the show. We got sort of hints of that with, like, Echo and stuff like that, but I don't know. That, like, why did Ben think he needed to go to the smoke monster, this evil whatever it was, to be judged?
I was sort of giving that, like, a lot of thought sort of on my own the other day, and I was thinking, like, yeah, like, well, Smokey used that to manipulate Ben into, you know, doing the other stuff, you know. But Ben was the one who initiated that whole sort of thing to begin with. So, yeah, so it was kind of like, you know, yeah, what was really the trigger of the events that led to Ben killing Jacob? You know, was it Ben or was it Smokey? And it really should be Smokey, but it kind of seems like it was Ben, which is kind of lame in my opinion. But yeah, that made sense. I hope it did.
Yeah. All right. So possibly Ben-centric, possibly Ben might die.
Oh, well.
I don't know. Like, I mean, Ben's an awesome character, but he's kind of, I don't know. Like, he's definitely different this year. Like, he's not, he hasn't been the same since he killed Jacob. Honestly, we really haven't even gotten that much out of Ben this year because they've mostly been focusing on other things, but, I don't know. Well, I don't know. Again, and if he does die, I hope it's an awesome death. Like, that he goes out in a blaze of glory or something. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap up the episode, so thanks everybody for calling in and listening in the chat tonight. It's been great having you here. I really appreciate that. And also, just a kind of an update on, I've mentioned several times that I'm accepting donations to help me pay for cable since I can't get ABC over the airwaves anymore, even with a digital tuner. Even with whatever antenna I've tried, ABC in particular won't come in, so I'm having to pay for cable. And I got a nice sized donation that paid for a couple months worth this past week. So basically I have like 1 month's worth of donations left to receive. So if a few people donate a small amount, or if one person donates about $20, then that should cover it for the rest of the season, and I won't bug you about donations after that. So thanks so much to the folks who have donated, and really appreciate your generosity and help out with that. All right, so until next time, stay lost and namaste. If you have a product or service that you'd like to market to thousands of Lost fans, find out how you can become a sponsor of this podcast. Send an email to thelostmeister@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Please check out the Josh Meister's Lost blog for links related to this podcast. The address again is thelostmeister,
That's thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Thank you, and namaste.